But wait, could it be? There's more Kelly! And you're listening to Lifelines 88.7 FM. Still.
Okay, so you talk about what I do at night.
What do you do at night?
So I made this.
Okay.
This little tiny thing.
Wow.
So this is a Jess. And this is the little anklet.
This, just so you people out there know, if there are people, you're looking at a piece of, what is that, line maybe? Rope?
It's waxy, tiny little line.
And it's about 4 inches long.
And how wide?
It's not wide at all.
The diameter.
It's 2 centimeters. And it's got like a, I don't know what's going on, a knot
there's
at the end?
Button or a knob, yeah.
Oh, it's a button or
that
a knob.
That one's a button and that one's a knot.
And what's this here?
So this little
piece
thing,
of leather?
It's a piece of leather with a grommet in it and the little leg of the bird is in there.
Oh,
yes.
It's for the birds.
It's for the birds. This is a Jess, which attaches to the leg. This
I thought you were starting your own jewelry line.
Heck no.
I was like, who's that going to fit?
Heck no. Okay, so you get your bird and you stick this little leg in there. And then you crimp this, and that stays on him.
Does it hurt him?
No.
It's like the little... How do they get those little metal things around the bird's legs?
You have a crimper.
Mm.
So that part goes through the leg. The leather part goes through the leg. It's a cuff.
It's a really hot day. Is that going to make the bird hot?
No.
It's a piece of leather.
No, it's fine. So okay. It's a little cuff, and then you crimp this, and he's got that on there. Then when you want to tie the bird to your leash, you throw that little sucker in there, which is... That little sucker is that skinny little Jess. And you got him. And then you clip this to your glove, this hole here.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually got a compliment from my Falcon Responder today. He said, you made that? He said, I knew there was a reason I was keeping you around. That was the compliment.
So does it attach to a longer leash?
Yes, it does. There's another one that's about 2 feet long, I guess. And that would slip through there. And then the whole thing attaches to a clip.
Wow. That's pretty
onto
cool.
Onto your glove.
So you came up with this all by yourself?
Oh, no. This is thousands of years old.
Oh.
This is just the fact that I want to make them myself makes my sponsor laugh because you can buy these or you can have somebody else make them for you.
Oh.
But I want to make them myself.
Let's learn something wrong with that.
No,
perhaps
that,
you can figure something out to abate the ants.
Yes. So I sit there at night listening to, say, TED Talks. Do you know what TED Talks are?
I do.
Okay, so I was listening to TED Talks about stress and about choices.
Did you learn anything?
I did. I learned that. They did a thing about where they check people's attitudes about stress symptoms. You know how when you get stressed, you're anxious, you maybe sweat, or you
my
bite
eyes
your
do a funny thing.
You itch, whatever.
Do you ever get an inner eye twitch, like in your eyeball?
Yes, I've had that.
It's pretty consistent because mine is going right now. You can't see it. It's like inside my eye.
Oh, no, the one that I have, you can see. I could look in the mirror and it would be going jump, jump, jump.
Oh, mine's like in there somewhere. It's
twitch,
really weird.
Twitch. So you're stressed right now?
I'm always stressed.
Why?
I should listen to the TED Talk. Because there's a lot of things in life. What time am I going to get to the bar? I'm worried.
So if you believe that stress is bad for you, it is. That was just the gist of the whole thing. And the way they did this is they interviewed a bunch of people about their attitudes towards stress. Ooh, the door's opening by itself.
It happens. It'll close by itself, too.
It's the wind.
So yeah, well, you...
So they interviewed people about what they felt about stress, and they kept track of everything they said, and then they watched the obituary notices for 5 years. The people who said that they felt that stress was bad for them died.
Well, that's just a strange coincidence.
No, they did it over and over and over again.
So if you think stress is good for you?
No, so what happens is that if you feel like something is bad for you, it adds to the stress and your blood vessels constrict.
Does that work? They get smaller
because you're like clenching up. That makes it harder for your heart to do its job pumping blood, and that's why you get a heart attack.
So it's really not the French fries, it's the fact that we think they're bad.
I think stress and French fries are two different things. I think you eat the French fries to alleviate the stress.
Well, some people think French fries are really bad and then they get all tensed up about eating them. But if you just eat them and think they're not bad, then maybe it's totally different.
Donuts, too.
Well, remember I said alcohol. People that drink alcohol live longer. So maybe it's just all related. You're just supposed to have things you want and not worry about
it. A certain amount of relaxing.
Everything in moderation, including moderation.
So what kind of drink are you getting later?
The club's not open tonight.
Pinot Grigio. I have some Pinot Grigio on the boat. I'm not supposed to open it, but...
Why not? You know, that stuff doesn't last that long.
In the bottle?
Yeah.
Oh, especially if there's an earthquake.
White wine down there on a hot boat. That's not going to work very good.
So I should get some ice?
Well, I'm just saying you don't want to, like, keep it for 6 months. You want to drink it at some point.
It's not open.
For the big trip. It doesn't matter.
I can't drink a whole bottle by myself.
You can't?
It would not be healthy. I can barely drink one by myself.
Oh, my gosh.
I might be able to drink half a bottle if I had help.
Well, if you had my help, the bottle wouldn't last.
You would drink 3/4 of it.
And you would drink one little glass.
There you go.
That would be so sad.
I had no idea you were such a drinker.
I'm really good at what I do. I mean, in everything.
So you're an A-type?
Well, no.
Personality.
I'm just good at everything I do.
And modest, too.
But I don't do things I'm not good at.
Oh. What don't you do?
I don't jump hurdles.
I don't either.
Yeah, I hate the idea. I don't climb fences or them. Walls.
Oh, I do
climb. I don't like climbing.
When that bird got loose, I had to hike up a 5-foot wall.
Ooh,
straight
yeah.
up and then go straight up a big embankment with loose gravel on it. It was not.
I don't like that. Worst about that
fast,
is getting down.
Fast.
I don't really like hiking. I mean, I will do it, but I don't want to necessarily. I don't have a desire. And that's not walking, like a normal uphill walk. I'm fine with that, but I don't want to hike on dirt and rocks and stuff.
Okay, so you're not good at that.
It's not that I'm not good at it. Well, yeah, I'm probably not good at it because I'm worried too much. I don't like staircases.
Have you paddleboarded?
Yeah. I have.
I think that would be funny to see you paddleboard.
You think it would be funny?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because if I were paddleboarding, I'd probably try to knock you over.
Oh, well, that's fine. I'm a good swimmer.
Good swimmer?
Yeah.
Good. That would be good.
I got goggles and everything. I might go for a swim after work.
Where
I live.
Oh, okay. Not in Baby Beach?
No. Oh, no. I actually used to go. We have a little thing called the sandbar, and you take your dinghy, and you go swimming right over here in Dana Point. And I always go and park my dinghy.
Sandbarney?
Sandbar. We call it the sandbar.
Okay.
Because it's like a shallow
another
place.
Another bar.
You park another bar, yes. You bring your beer there. You park here. You park your dinghy, and you get out, and you go take a swim. And it's really fun and refreshing. You play smash ball. Do whatever you want over there. It's like a party. I was on a booze cruise the other night, and it was dark, and we were going by the sandbar, yes. And they have lights shining down from the boat, so you can see, you know, the band and all, and I saw, like, a 6-foot shark right where I swim. It was in the water, and I thought to myself,
and it had a beer,
that shark is in my swimming pool, but then I thought to myself again,
nope.
I'm in that shark's swimming pool. And that's just plain idiotic. So I don't know if I could do that anymore because now that I've seen what lives beneath. Because I always ask my friends.
It was
like,
always
is there, a
there
shark?
Before.
It wasn't, though. That one was just passing through. You should have seen how fast he was moving, too. Whoa. It was big.
But does he have a taste for Kelly?
You know what most things do.
Especially the pickled Kelly.
Yes, I don't know if I take my chances. I just don't know. No, I'm not. It's not as bad as it sounds. I'm not going to Betty Ford or anything.
It's sounding pretty bad. Although I've been to the Betty Ford where in Vail, there's that place where
did
Gerald
you check
Ford,
in?
Well, I didn't need to. I was dropping somebody off at the ballet.
Oh, were they going to get sober?
No, she went to watch the ballet.
Oh, the ballet. I thought it was like a ballet. Like I thought it was like a place where you get ready to get in. But there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, I really appreciate sobriety. There's nothing wrong with it.
2 days a week at least.
Usually one, when I'm not in transition.
It's not as bad as it sounds.
No, it's not.
So you'd work fine in Avalon. You'd do great.
Yeah.
That's what they do over there.
Did they just...
They're dedicated drinkers.
Well, I don't know if it has to be like a dedication. I think really it just is a tool.
To alleviate your
life.
Stress.
No, it's not really about stress. I would say it's more about killing time.
You don't have enough to do.
I have plenty to do. I just don't think it's as fun. Well, I'll go see a movie. I don't drink at the movies, although all the movie theaters have bars now.
Do they?
Yeah.
I haven't been to the movies in a long time.
Imagine it. Yeah, you can get anything you want at the movies now. Comes with a price.
Probably really expensive there.
Yeah, but who wants to sit and watch a movie and drink booze? A lot of my friends. Yeah, interesting. But I'm just saying, a lot of people do that, though. They'll get off work, they'll go to happy hour, have a glass of wine,
so this may
meet up
be
with friends.
A norm.
It's like a social social thing. People that don't have children get together and socialize and have a drink. I wouldn't say it's problematic. I would say it's just living the dream.
Okay.
Well, since I'm a cheap drunk and I have limited funds to... Like, I saw somebody the other day who was smoking, which is an expensive habit, and they were drinking, which can be an expensive habit. And I just thought, what does that person do that allows them to just smoke away their money?
You'd be surprised. Some people, that you don't have to make
like
that much
kid,
money.
Kid, too. Wasn't even somebody who was very old. It looked, I mean, everybody looks 12 to me now.
Who's, yeah. But there's a lot of smokers out there. But a lot of times the smokers, the young ones, just ask older ones for cigarettes.
They bum them.
Yeah. A lot of times.
But you don't smoke.
I don't. I don't smoke. I wouldn't spend my money
that's
that way.
That's a point in your favor.
See? See that? I'm doing good. I do all the right things.
But you still haven't told me anything you're not good at.
Yeah, I did. Told you I'm not good at hurdles and climbing fences. And climbing, really, I don't like climbing at all. I don't want to climb on the
jetty. So you probably shouldn't do anything that would require a quick escape by foot.
No, I don't like running. One time I was in Avalon, and I was out at the bars, and I had to get I had to get back to my boat. So I went to get on the dinghy, and you know how, and I hate this about Avalon, you have to park your dinghy like with all the other dinghies, so sometimes you're not right against the dock, because when I want to park my dinghy, I want to be like flush against the dock so I can kind of like sit down and scooch in so I don't have to do too much, you know, climbing. So this particular evening, I didn't get a front row spot, and I had to climb over several other people's dinghies to get to my dinghy. This isn't good for somebody like me. I'm terrible at it. So I start, and I'm climbing and climbing. And by the time I fell flat in, like tripped over somebody else's, flat on my face into my dinghy, because it was wet. Condensation had happened.
Happened.
It occurred. Okay. And so I fell down flat on my face in my dinghy like that, and it was just not that fun.
You could have fallen straight into the water.
Yes, and then I would have had to find a way out, which is also a problem.
Yes, but they did just put ladders.
Great news. What about the shark? There's more there than
there
are
here. Not so much in the Avalon Harbor.
Okay. That's what I used to say about this harbor.
Yeah, mostly the sharks are two-legged. Land shark.
Good to know. So anyways, yeah, I don't like climbing over other people's dinghies. Sometimes people just say, oh yeah, come aboard. You know, if I pull up to say hi when I visit them. No, thank you. I'm going to stay right here where it's safe.
In the dinghy.
Yeah, because I don't want to climb over...
Oh,
their
climbing.
Boats and get up. Yeah, no climbing. Climbing's bad. Some people love it. Some people climb over those dinghies like monkeys.
That'd be me.
I'm always like, how do you do it? And they do it. Like, they stand on it, and they walk around it, and they jump in it, and they jump out of it. Oh, it's crazy.
So I think, as we wait for this airplane to go over.
It's a lot of elements here.
We went climbing up there yesterday. See, right up there.
That's where I walk every day. You mean you went up to the
trail? Actually, we parked right on that road.
Where that little gate is?
And we walked around there, and we went down Camino Capistrano to the park, where there were a gazillion dogs.
To Heritage Park.
Yes.
That's where I go. Every day I go up there.
Gazillion dogs.
Well, that's my walk. Well, at lunchtime I do that, but I do the whole thing all the way from over there in the park and the whole thing. It's beautiful up there. You should do some radio shows on your walk. I don't know. You could talk about how pretty it is. It's one of a kind. I think more people should see it.
I think the arches up there are interesting.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's historic. But do you ever, like, well, today I came down this way, but I also came down this way. And it's really amazing when you turn that corner and you, like, get on the stairs and you see the whole entire ocean and
harbor.
And
I say, there's my boat down
there. It's amazing.
There.
And you could get a photo up there. Yeah, and you know, there was a movie. You probably don't because you don't watch movies. But was it last year or the year before now? There was a movie with John Travolta. John Travolta was in it. Somebody else was in it that's important, but not that important. Anyways, it was called Savages, and it was filmed primarily in Laguna Beach, but parts in Dana Point at Baby Beach and right up there. So if you watch the movie, you'll see the blue roof. They pull up.
I do like watching movies.
He walks down. Oh, watch that one.
Okay.
It's about drug dealers in Orange County.
Hmm.
It's cool, though. Hmm. Nothing wrong with it.
Hmm. Are there guns and knives and people dying?
Yes and no. It's entertaining. I don't like bad, like, gory movies. It's not one of those. It's just got a little that aspect. It's got a little bit of that in it.
Okay.
Like, they kidnap the girl, and then the guys have to figure out how to save her, and they want to open, like, a marijuana thing, and then, like, it's a whole thing, and then these other Mexicans are after him, and John Travolta's a cop, but he's kind of a dirty cop. We'll get it all figured out.
Okay.
But it's in Dana Point.
So when I get my post office box in Dana Point,
uh-huh.
And then I can go get my library card.
Yes, absolutely.
In Dana Point. Well, not in Dana Point, because the nearest one is Laguna Niguel, I think.
But it's very close.
And then I can maybe rent that movie. Or borrow it.
Do you rent movies at the library?
I always borrow movies from the library.
Wow, I didn't know this. Yes, you could.
If they have it. Sure. And if they don't have it, they can probably get it.
I bet they can. I didn't even know you could get movies at the library.
I download audiobooks.
Me too.
From the library.
Oh, I have
Audible. For
free. Oh, I like free.
Free is good.
Here's a new book.
What are you reading, Kelly?
Right now, I've been doing a lot of Stephen King.
Oh.
Yeah, so I just finished Mr. Mercedes, and I loved it so much. I really liked it, and so I got a book that was highly recommended.
So you like scary stuff?
It's not scary, it's twisted. Like, Stephen King's not scary. Like, I listened to The Shining. That was something. That was my internet. I haven't listened to all of them. He came out with a book about 2 years ago now called Joyland. Just nothing but fun. It was so fun to read. I loved every second of it. Hmm. The narrator's really good, too.
Hmm.
But Mr. Mercedes, I read Dr. Sleep because it was the sequel to The Shining, and that was okay.
The Shining wasn't scary?
The Shining was stupid scary.
Hmm.
It was scarier than other stuff, but I was so bored listening to that. I just finished it because I felt like I had to. But I started a new one called 11-22-68 or something like that. And it's a Stephen King novel. People say it's the best since The Stand, which I haven't read. And it's a little bit boring, but he goes back in time to try to save John F. Kennedy. And we're just getting there. We're just getting there. So my walk every day is about an hour, so I figure it's going to take me 30 days to read the
book. Oh, you listen to books on tape when you walk?
Yes.
And you do that to distract yourself?
I do it because I like you talk about stress. I think taking a nice walk is a stress reliever. And when you get to listen to a book, you get to hear a story while you walk.
Aren't you isolating yourself?
Absolutely. I hate when I'm walking up there and I see other people.
So you're looking for isolation at lunchtime?
Yeah, the reason I go up there and don't walk the harbor is so I don't have to see people I know. 95% of the time I see somebody I know. A lot of times because I have to cross the street from my house to get over to my walking place. And that's when, and then I get honks and waves and, oh, I saw you walking. And I'm like, really?
I do that sometimes.
It's so funny. I know. Well, there's one guy that actually stopped me, and he said he saw me walking, and he gave me all this advice on other things I could do. And
besides walking?
Yeah, and what I could do to, you know, and go to this website, and all these things. It was the weirdest thing. It was like a 20-minute conversation about how I could, you know, change me.
And you said, I did not ask for any of this?
I didn't ask. I know. I was like, what the heck? And it was funny because I was bringing the office. I was downstairs and I was bringing, like, it was a Friday or something, and I was bringing donuts up to the office. So I had a dozen donuts in my hand, and he's telling me all this stuff. And he probably thought I was going to go up and eat them.
All of them?
All of them at the same time before I took my walk. So it was just a funny situation. But I really enjoy when people tell me how I should be.
When people start with, you know what you should do, I usually say, kick you in the head.
Yeah.
Have you ever read any William Goldman?
No, is he good?
Very.
Very?
You probably know his work already. The Princess Bride.
Oh, okay.
But he does...
Is it sci-fi? I don't like sci-fi.
No.
Okay.
He does... it's twisted. Just when you think that you think you know what's happening, you don't.
Ooh.
And it's really fun when that happens. And it happens every time. He's reliably going in a different direction. But all of the clues are always there. It's not like he goes, you know, 90-degree angle somewhere else without giving you all the clues that you should have seen it coming.
Right.
So I always think I'm a really observant reader, but he always manages to plot twist extraordinarily.
I like it.
Goldman, not to be confused with Golding.
Goldman.
Goldman.
I'll have to check him out.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yep.
We'll have to do like a little book club on
Yeah, tape. We could do book club on the radio.
Talk about our books.
And now for the latest book.
Yes.
What did I just read? Oh, I've been in the Jackie Faber series.
Oh, I haven't read her.
It's by a couple in Maine, L.A. Meyer and his wife, and he does the writing and she does the research. So Jackie Faber is a 17th century orphan. Her whole family died of the plague.
Mm.
And so rather than be a street urchin, she decides to go to sea. So she's a woman at sea.
Whoa.
Which tends to have issues because as soon as she hits puberty, of course, she's found out. So there's like 11, 12 books. And each one is more fun than the last.
Well, that's it's always nice to look forward to a fun book.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, I love that.
And they, but unfortunately, the last book was already written because the authors said, we wrote the last book, just so you know, we don't want it to just peter out when the author dies or something. So we wrote the last book so there was closure.
Oh, that's good.
And so when we're done with the series, we will issue the last book. They issued the last book.
Oh, no. Well, that's horrible.
It's very horrible. So I...
So someday you're going to get the closure.
It's a lovely series. I'm only on book 10.
So you've got two more?
I've got two more.
Sometimes they have to end, though.
Right, and I think they do kill her off. Mm. I don't think she makes it to 20 years old, though.
That's sad.
Well, she has quite a life. She has a very exciting life.
Well, that's good.
And she has a great accent that she uses in the audiobooks. You should listen to the audiobooks, because you'll start talking like Jackie Faber.
Jackie Faber. Love her or hate her? A girl for whom matters of the heart are complicated. Storms are the norm. Any statement of certainty is doomed to be undone within a matter of pages. She can go from in full command of her officers and vessel to tarred and feathered and roasted alive. Somehow she manages to keep her maidenhood book after book, although it is challenged most ardently. And lately she doesn't wear much in the way of clothing. She goes from penniless thief to swell decorated Royal Naval officer and proprietor of Faber Shipping worldwide. Like a cat, she lands on her feet after every mishap. But Jackie's days are numbered, and her nine lives are almost up. I love you, Jackie. I'm a true fan, yes I am. I admit it. Now for a bit of music to get us to the end of the show.
I can go slow if you want me to. I can be gentle, say the words that suit. I'll try to be patient, not my best thing. Won't you come to me? You're in no hurry. How nice for you. What a luxury to not need love like food. I'll try to be patient and stop hoping you will come to me.
Understand that I do want a man, but only one who should.
that was me with the jawless fishes. If you're going to use filler, you might as well use yourself. On the horizon for future shows, I will plan on more music, as it is extremely difficult to stay charming and witty for a whole 2 hours. Here at KISL, we like to make radio that we ourselves would want to tune in to hear. Well, I love talk shows and all the blah, blah, blah. NPR, TED Talk, podcasting ideas, etc. So I gave that a shot. No crew to help rustle up topics, or edit the sound, or find the snippets of noise like, or, nope, just me, sitting on a boat in a harbor, with a booze cruise roaring by.
Dream a little dream of me, the mamas and the papas.
Shining bright above you, night breezes seem to whisper, I love you. Birds singing in the sycamore tree, dream a little dream of me. Say nighty night and kiss me, just hold me tight and tell me me while I'm alone and blue as can be. Dream a little dream of me. Stars fading, but I linger on, still craving your kiss. I'm longing to linger till dawn, dear. Just leave all worries behind you, but in your dreams, whatever they be, dream a little dream of me.
More experimentation and audio to come, I promise. But for now, I will sign off. You have been listening to Lifelines with your host, Seashell, a.k.a. The Liveaboard. This has been the episode about isolation. Fair winds on the airwaves, y'all.
Go out on the ocean, set me up on my pony, on my boat.
So, this is Roy Nyman on the yacht Mabruka, sailing in the Coho-Ho-Ho down from Seattle to San Diego. And you are listening to KISL Avalon 88.7 FM.